We're going to find out what happens here. All right. Okay. We got Chris. We got me. And we got John Torres. And thank you guys for being here, though, sincerely.
Thank you.
You know, Chris, you can hop up a little bit closer to your mic just to get the best audio quality. So, yeah, 99.1 PLR and CT Live and Local. We're talking to Chris Andrews, who is the owner of Toe Talk Tavern right there on Fairfield Avenue, and John Torres, who is, smile for the camera, John. They like to see it. The manager of Park City Music Hall, also on Fairfield Avenue, and we're talking about everything that's going to happen on March 14th, which is the big parade, which is one of my favorite days of the year. And guys, take it away. Just give us a quick overview of what Fairfield Avenue is going to be like that particular day.
Sure. So this is the third year we're actually doing this, and Chris and I sort of came up with the idea, two years ago when the parade initially moved from downtown to Black Rock. Huge opportunity. You got thousands and thousands of people coming to Black Rock. Why not? We've got this big parking lot. We obviously have a ton of audio equipment through Park City. Tables and chairs, and we rent a tent. So this is year three where we're really hoping to blow it out of the water. We've got Green Eyed Lady performing. So this is the first year we're having a full band with a full sound system, which just for anybody that knows about Park City, it used to be the Acoustic Cafe. We also acquired the Acoustic Cafe's old PA system, which is still a very good PA system. We're going to be moving that outdoors on a full stage. So, yeah, it's a great event. There's a lot more to talk about with it. I'll let Chris take some airtime, too.
Yeah, no, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's as John says, it's an unbelievable opportunity. When Toe Talk's there 15 years now at this stage.
Yeah.
So St. Patrick's Day, we're not really an Irish bar. We're a New England bar representing Bridgeport predominantly.
Yeah.
If you go into the Toe Talk, all the history of Bridgeport, which has so much to be proud of, is on the walls of the Toe Talk Tavern. But I used to always go down to the Bridgeport Parade. It was wonderful. It was awesome. But there's essentially one bar down there, And
and that's the problem, is that downtown has so much potential, but it's just it feels like it's not quite there yet.
So it was, it was a great parade, lots of people, but then we'd have to wait until 5 or 6 o'clock for everybody to come up to, because inevitably people would go to Black Rock. That's where the bars are,
right,
in Bridgeport. So, and they'd come and they'd stay the evening, and then you'd have the later crowd that know nothing about St. Patrick's Day would come in. But then, it's like, oh my gosh, they're moving it to Black Rock. What an opportunity.
I did the parade. I never did it downtown, but I did when I the first time I did it was 3 years ago, and it was the first year that we moved it to Black Rock. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, like, why has it not been like this literally the entire time?
Right.
Listen, I want to get into the nitty gritty of all of that, but I've got you guys here. You guys are local business owners, and I want to go over a little bit of news that's been happening in the state over the last week. I play a game called Snooze It or Lose It. All right. So we're going to have 2 minutes to talk about each of these news stories that have come up. And if that's it and 2 minutes is all we need, then we lose it. We move on to the next one. But if it's interesting and there's more that you need to say, then we'll hit the snooze button and the 2 minute timer will begin again. Does that make sense, guys?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this. So timer's being set. 2 minutes, and the first one is economic blackout tomorrow on Friday. Have you guys heard about this on social media?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, so what it basically is there's going to be, a movement of people who are dissatisfied politically or, economically with where the U.S. is at. So the idea is nobody buys anything from, like, a national business, a big corporate chain. I see the relief on Chris's face immediately. He's just like, wait a minute, why are you telling me that no one's going to spend money in my bar on a Friday? No, from, like, national chains and stuff like that. So thoughts on this, guys? Do you think it's do you think it's effective? Are you worried as business owners about some fallout out like that? What do you think?
Oh my God, I cannot believe this is getting a little bit political now. You're talking about business, local,
and I don't need a pro or con. No one's got to get mad at anybody.
I will say the one thing that's important to me and is the best thing about this country is, yes, people are allowed to do whatever they so choose, right? And if you don't want to buy something and it's your way of saying I'm not happy about something, then so be it. What is it going to achieve? You know, if you need milk, you don't buy it Friday. You're going to buy it Saturday. So, you know, it may take a punch, but
yeah. No, I mean, that's kind of the thing. Like, I've talked to, I talked to somebody. I talked to Bill the other day. He was talking about how he's got a concert on Friday to go to, and he's, like, looking up local places. But, I don't know, like, local places in Long Island where the show's at. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I kind of echo Chris's sentiment. I think it's not, you know, love the fact that people are able to do that in this country. That's a really powerful thing about America. And I'm, you know, obviously as a small business owner and general manager of a venue like this, it's, nerve-wracking to think that that is something that could maybe creep into small businesses, but I doubt that it would.
I think we'll be busier, John. You know, people won't be shopping. They'll be drinking.
That's right. There you go. That's exactly right.
I think we'll get a little value add there on actually capturing some. All right. Saved by the
bell. That's our two. It sounds like we're going to lose it.
We're going to lose that one.
You guys made some good points. I don't know. I just, you know, I read that, and I actually did a story on it for my job today, and it was interesting, man. It was interesting to talk to a bunch of people. But, okay, we're moving on. Economic blackout. Another that, especially as Bridgeport residents, which I believe we all are. Chris, do you live in Bridgeport?
I had a house here for years. I actually live in Massachusetts.
Oh, all right. Well, Massachusetts. I'm going to ask about that.
I'm
going to ask about that later. But, okay, red light cameras. Red light cameras are coming to cities all over Connecticut. I already see John and Chris shaking your heads, and we're not fans of this. They're already in, like, Beacon Falls and Washington, Connecticut, which I didn't even know was a town that existed. But, all right. Chris, why no?
Watch out. I was just in New York 3 weeks ago, and I borrowed a friend of mine's car.
Okay.
I got 3 speeding tickets.
What?
Doing like 35 in a 20, a school zone. There's no school anywhere. There's no school. There's no... And 3... So I was...
Wait, in 1 day?
Yes, in 1 day.
That's amazing.
2 on one stretch of the road, one after the other. It is ridiculous. So I would say, yeah, watch out. But you know, again, if the state want to make money, they're going to be looking at ways, and it'll take people a little bit of time before they catch on to where the cameras are.
All right, before they start to acclimate.
They'll figure it out. So, but, you know, again, pros and cons, right?
Pros and cons. John, pros, cons?
I'm just generally against any kind of government.
Ooh.
Government surveillance.
See, now he's making it political, all right? The other John is making it political.
I just don't want to be on camera on public streets. Again, we have them for, and sometimes they're of good use when you got an accident or something like that. But when it comes to, like, sort of punishing citizens for potentially driving just a couple miles over the speed limit, I just don't find that necessary or very hospitable to the residents of Connecticut. I'm not a fan.
Definitely inhospitable. Can I say one thing as a pro? And now normally, John, in fact, just a couple of years ago, I would have been 100% on your side. I would have been like, this is 1984 and I hate this. Like, I don't want it at all. And then my car got stolen. My car got stolen and it was gone for 2 days. And what found it?
I'm sure a camera.
It was a camera.
Or was it a red light camera?
Well, you know what? That's fair. I think it was a cop with, like, the gun, like, you know, scanning license plates. And but isn't that the same thing?
No, he's a guy. That's a dude that's standing there. That's the thing. Is if there's an officer right there saying, "Hey, you sped," that's one thing. But having somebody in some, you know, room in another area that's on, you got you on camera, I think that's sketchy and weird, and we don't need to be doing that to our residents.
Yeah, but if you look at government,
oh, we're snoozing it. Yep.
It's economics. The state are looking for ways, and the next one after that is going to be 95 with tolls, just like New Jersey.
You think that's coming?
Well, it's if you can't balance a budget, then you got to raise more money, right? So if you got to raise more money, just again, just like John says, you know, they're watching you and then making you pay. You know, is it very hospitable? Is it a reason to live in Connecticut? You know, some people don't like it, and maybe they'll leave.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. All right, we can lose that one now. I like that though. I'm telling you, it was the car thing though for me, man. Like when I got my car stolen, I was, and then it came back, and everything was still in it.
Well, a buddy of mine, he got hit by a car crossing Fairfield Ave at Brewster.
Oh no!
And the cameras that are there pick that up, but ultimately, that's not like constant surveillance and determining whether you're breaking the law or not. This is a recording that is there for exactly that purpose of your car being stolen, if you got hit by a car for whatever reason. But this, they're just, I don't know. This feels, like I said, inhospitable, and it's not going to, it's just raising revenue on the backs of your citizens, you know, and I think that's weird. Whereas, like you said, tolls, yeah. I mean, I'm not pro tolls, but at least that's for usage, you know, and it's at a reasonable amount, a dollar here, a dollar there. This is, when you get a ticket, a speeding ticket, how much was yours?
Each of them were
which good. One?
Yeah. each of them were 50, I think. Yeah, 50.
Well, that's not bad.
That's
at
really
all,
not
actually.
That bad.
But
I got two of them within 5 minutes. It's $100 for going down the road, and it took and the 3 days that I were there, I got three of them.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it takes you a week to catch on. It takes you probably, if I was there for a month, God knows how much it would have cost me before I realized. You know,
sure.
This
what
is,
if you had missed the letter in the mail too? I mean, there's so many ways for that 150 that you got
to
balloon.
John, remember, it was my buddy's car. So I didn't get the letter in the mail. I got a phone call. Yeah. You douchebag.
How pissed off was he? That's fucking funny.
Oh, God.
I mean, like, that is... All right. Well, you know what, John? You mentioned hospitality.
Yeah.
So given that you guys are in the hospitality industry, let's really focus in on what's happening on March 14th. So the parking lot behind Toe Talk Tavern, and I still want to call it the acoustic.
I know.
You do too sometimes?
Now I'm out of that phase.
Okay.
But it
All
was
right.
there for about a year and a half into it. But now I sometimes have to remind myself that I am standing in the space currently
right,
occupied
right, right. It's
by
your
the
space.
That, and it's just so vastly different. I was chatting with Will Vega and Darian the other day. We were kind of reminiscing about the old days. And my mind was just kind of broken. Like, wait, where was the stage? Where were the bathrooms? So it's
that
really
old hallway.
Yeah, that's right.
It was, I mean, dude, it was incredible. But anyway, as I was saying, behind Park City Music Hall and Toe Talk Tavern, you guys are going to have this big, huge, I mean, what are we calling it? A block party? Are we calling it
It's a St. Patrick's Day celebration. We've tried other names, but I think based on the day that it is on,
right.
or the celebration that it celebrates, I think it's easiest to just, it's our big St. Patrick's Day celebration.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to reinvent the wheel with these things.
Yeah, so we kind of tagged it sort of the Irish Village.
Yes.
We're trying to get
like that.
that little you know, community. So, you know, John reached out to vendors, and second Saturday or first, and all the local community vendors from BlackRock.
Yeah.
They've been participating the last few years. It has been a little quieter, but as John says, I think this is the year. He's got the music, the stage. Boy, we need some good weather.
Yeah.
So far, the long term. Yeah.
I have.
Don't say. Don't okay. do that.
We've been watching.
Don't do that.
You're right.
Don't do that.
There's not a piece of wood in this room.
No, because then it's going to be my fault because you said it on this thing. That's not cool. All right. So, you know what fascinates me, honestly, and this is the thing that I was the most curious to ask you guys about, is the relationship between Park City Music Hall and Toe Talk Tavern, which I feel like, and Chris, you would know this the best, I feel like extended to when it was the acoustic and the acoustic cafe. Before that, well, I guess it was always the acoustic when Toe Talk came in time wise. But anyway, you would think you guys would be competitors, and yet you're not. You're so frequently collaborators. Tell me what that relationship is, having relatively similar businesses right next to each other.
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, Park City, when we first opened it up, we wanted it to be an economic engine for all of BlackRock. And I think that's natural.
I think it is.
Yeah. And I mean, we have got people coming in for shows, and they're not just coming to Park City as soon as the doors open. We know this because we look at the metrics of when our sales start. They really start closer to the show time. So that means that they're going to other businesses. And I see, you know, we've got a jam band show. I see the jam band crowd at different restaurants around. I'm like, I know that person is coming to the show tonight, and they're having a pizza next door, or they're at a bar down the street. So we're excited to do that. We want every business in BlackRock to do well, and I think it helps us to do well. So there's never been any kind of competitive thing between us. So, I mean, just to start there.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Yeah, no, we're so grateful that Park City is there. You know, you talk about the name. I'm all about Park City. I have no problem remembering what's next door.
Right.
You know, Park City, John, the Torres family brought it to a whole different level. And keep on, you know, keep on moving the, you know, moving the bar. And we're going out into the parking lot, which is absolutely fantastic. So, you know, we used to always do, and you know Black Rock.
Yeah.
It was all about live music. Best musicians, you know, I would say in the state, all lived in and around Black Rock.
I would agree.
You know, great, great bands. So we always had local small bands pre-COVID. We don't do it anymore. Well, because, you know, you got the music next door. There's no point in us competing. And we can't pay. You know, it's gotten to the stage where musicians have, like everybody else, they have to be paid for what they do.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So us having small little bands and acts, we don't even do it. We're so, you know, happy to have, as John says, we get some business beforehand. They let out, you know, we're open later. We get business afterwards. And now, you know, working together to do some fun stuff in that amazing, you know, we're lucky to have that parking lot. And it, we can do some, again, it's community events, you know. So, as well, John says, it's for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a symbiotic relationship that's kind of indicative of really, like, the entire neighborhood as a whole. And I feel like the neighborhood's kind of been falling down a little bit. I want to talk about the neighborhood at large a little bit with you guys. But first, let's focus in on the day itself. So, walk me through the schedule of how everything's going to go. So, I live in Bridgeport, or I live in one of the towns near Bridgeport. I know that Fairfield Ave is where I want to go for my St. Paddy's Day Friday. When should I get there? What should I be doing? You know, walk me through the schedule.
All right. Well, first thing you should know is that the streets are going to close at a certain time because the parade is going to go down. So get there early or arrive by a different route than Fairfield Ave. Park on the side streets. You can park at the train station if you get there early enough. Or if you go around Fairfield Ave, there's the municipal lot across the street next to September in Bangkok, which is the new restaurant opening.
Yeah.
You've got, so there's a lot of on-street parking, and you can also take the train. Ultimately, the parade is going to begin, I believe, right at noon. It passes right in front of our two businesses and ends towards sort of Fairfield. Now, I forget where exactly it ends.
It was Castle before.
Oh, okay.
It usually ends at Castle and the old Taco Loco. I can't remember the name of the new place.
El Perup. I forget. I'm not going to.
Yeah, that's
it.
Fine.
So anyways, it passed. As soon, basically, we're going to open at what, 11 down in the back?
Yeah, I think bars will be open between 10, 11.
I'm talking about the back. So we'll be, I think both of our venues, the actual brick and mortars, will be open 10:30, 11 a.m., whatever it is, when we start to have people come in. But the back will really start jumping off directly after the parade, though you will be able to go back there from 11 o'clock or so on. We're having the band start, Green Eyed Lady. If you haven't heard of them, they're a great rock band. They do play some Irish rock music. We've got they're going to bring the Hammond organ. We're going to put it on the backstage.
Oh, the big fella.
Yeah, we're rolling it down the hill.
Yeah.
And we're going to put it on
someone's going to die getting that thing out there.
Hey, Steve Gaspar said, I won't play without it. So we said, fine, we'll get it up there. We'll figure it out. So we've got a full band out there starting right at 1 o'clock, so we can just, nobody has to wait around after the parade for music. It starts right then. We're going to have food. Michelle from Harborview, my mother, she cooks a heck of a corned beef. So we'll be having food. Both of us will have our bars open in the back, providing drinks and stuff like that. We have a tent, chairs, tables. We'll have kids face painting. We'll have, as Chris mentioned, the Irish Village. We have a ton of vendors that have signed up. I think 25 or 30 have signed up. We've got to see how many we can actually fit, but there's going to be a ton of vendors.
Give me like a little rundown. Who are some of the vendors you guys got coming through?
I wish I had them at the tip of my head.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Somebody else is
managing. I'm not going to say your favorite, just whichever's top of mind. It doesn't mean that it's your favorite vendor, John.
If I had even one, I would provide it. Chris, you might be able to find it.
I could find it.
But we are not local. Primarily running that. We've got our...
No, that's fine.
So, and I will say, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Irish Village, but it's not just all Irish stuff for the day. You know, it's local businesses. And, you know, so it's not just Irish sweaters and Guinness and nothing else.
Sure.
You know, I think that's the, you know, the beauty of what we're trying to do is, you know, it's a community event. So as John says, we will have games like horseshoes or cornhole.
Man.
Yeah, bunch of maybe some beer drinking games. I'm not sure. Maybe, possibly.
Some beer pong? Is there going to be beer pong?
Who knows? Who knows? You know, but just so that people can enjoy the parade in the morning. You know, the parade doesn't go on too long. And then they have a destination to come to after. John says we'll have a tent. We have, you know, Guinness are doing a partnership with Narragansett, which I didn't really know much about, called
Sure.
Your Hello Neighbor. And it's like a black and tan.
Oh, so it's a combination of the two beers.
Yeah. So we'll be obviously doing, instead of Smithwick's, we'll be doing Narragansett. We're actually we're like the number one selling Narragansett bar in the state of Connecticut.
That tracks. For me. Just generally speaking, like hung out in Totog for 10 years of my life, that tracks 100%.
So a Gansett and a Guinness and, you know, music and fun. What else, you know, what else do you need?
Amen to that. Well, now, so actually, weather. You know what? Weather. Exactly. And it's funny because I didn't even think about this until we asked about the drinking games and stuff like that. Is permitting for stuff like this a pain in the ass? Is there like a lot of stuff you got to go through in terms of that?
Private property. We don't have to get a permit.
Okay.
And we're both licensed.
And I actually have confirmed that with the powers that be. If it had been on public land or something like that, or we weren't, you know, permitted bars, then it would be a different story. But it's private property, so.
So let me see if I got the rundown right, all right? So the bars themselves open around 10:30, 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. all right? And, you know, the parade, this I know because I have to be in it, starts at noon. And then, you know, you guys have live music starting at 1 o'clock.
Right.
Okay. And then vendors to enjoy the entire time, games to enjoy, like Chris was saying, and, you know, maybe drinking games?
Potentially.
This is why I ask about the permits. John gets bashful and looks away when I say that.
That's not a question of permits. I think there's laws around allowing drinking games, but I think if you play, for example, as you said, beer pong?
No, yeah. That's such a Fairfield County thing. I love that. I intentionally didn't say Beirut because I didn't want people to be
confused.
That's
what it is. Not a very nice way to call it. However, if you play with water, it's permissible. But again, I don't think anybody cares. But ultimately, you have to keep your eye on the ball there. No, sorry, that was a poor pun to use there. you got to stay within the bounds of what the law says there.
So. Yeah, no, we'll have the games. Yeah. We'll have the beer. And people, they want to play, whatever they want to do,
right?
Providing
exactly,
you got two rules.
It's like in college when the cops come and you're like, "Officer, we weren't selling beer; we were selling these cups."
Right.
And then whatever the people did with the cup is kind of, you know, up to them. So
providing people behave themselves and enjoy themselves.
Oh, this is always a relatively calm environment. It's family friendly, so
absolutely.
I want to make sure that's clear. This is it's a day activity kind of thing. So we've got if you can imagine just like the festival where they've got all the vendors lined up. I mean, it's gonna be great. You just walk the whole thing, go around the U shape, and come back, grab a beer, listen to the band, sit at the tables, have some corned beef. It's gonna be just we were trying to make it so that you don't just come back there like, all right, well, what do I do? I'll have a drink. Okay, I'll leave now. We want to give stuff to do for so you can be there with your family, with your friends for an hour or two and have a great time. And obviously, our bars are also open after that. So we have to shut that down so that we can have people come and park for the nighttime activities. Both places have full programming throughout the entire day into the late evening. Yeah. So it's going to be a marathon of a day. It was last year, as I recall. It's basically a full 14, 16-hour day of just... It's a lot of work to put it on, but we're excited to do it. We're excited to bring it to the next level this year with the stage and the sound and the music. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I before we wrap up here, I did want to get you guys' thoughts on one thing, because what I'm really excited about, you know, is just the fact that Black Rock has felt so empty for the last year. I want to say almost 2 years. I'm talking about in terms of businesses. So like Black Rock Social House closed down. It's been empty for 2 years, And, poor Lou from Hub and Spoke had to get out of there. 19th Hole is there. I don't know how much it's like really kind of gotten into like part of that scene, but they seem like they're having fun. And then there's Jolene's, which is going to be going in where Roadrunner is. Are you guys How are you guys feeling about the state of the neighborhood right now? Because it felt like it was really coming down. Is it good to have these new businesses coming in? Is that all good? Is that more competition? What's the thought there?
Well, speaking only for Park City, we've always wanted great restaurants in Black Rock because that's one thing that we didn't really have, not to throw shade on
you. Guys have really good food, I will say that.
Well, thank you. And ultimately, we're happy to have it, and we definitely sell food while we're there, but we're not a restaurant. So if you're going out for a night on the town, you know you're going to a show, and you want to have a sit-down, bottles, you know, have a waiter come over. We're not that. So we're there to provide food for people that are more like, hey, I'm here. Let me get a fried chicken sandwich. That's great. But ultimately, we want to be able to have an ecosystem in Black Rock where you're not just coming in for the show and leaving. Think about like downtown where you go to the amphitheater and people are coming from all over the state. They're driving in, they're seeing the show, and they're immediately leaving because there's nothing around there
right.
for them to go right. to afterwards. So I'm very happy that September in Bangkok has taken over that space. I saw some footage of it. It looks amazing. Plus, I love Thai food, specifically Northern Thai food, so I couldn't be happier. Jolene's, I had a conversation with Marty the other day. He's really psyched about it, and he told me a little bit about what their plans are there, and I think it's
I'm hopefully going to have those guys in here sometime yeah. soon, too. Yeah, no, I mean, they're awesome. They know what they're doing.
So, no, we want more. More is better.
Always.
So, yeah, I agree 100%. 15 years later, I think...
Has it been that long with Toto?
Yeah, I think this is the first time that every business on the Ave, from Shibin all the way down to Rhino, I think there's somebody going in the old Ash Creek, all the businesses are going to be open. And yeah. I agree
wow.
with John. You know, that's a business district. That's a hospitality district, and it does take that food. I will say another thing, you know, that's important, and to the people of Black Rock, you know, we have really, you know, started doing less food because people, I feel that they don't, you know, eat as much. They don't think of Black Rock to eat, right? And this is important.
Not as much as they should, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the Castle got great food. You know, Park City got great food. You know, Marty.
Fire Engine, the Blind Rhino. You know, yeah.
Blind Rhino, they all got, there's so much good food there, right? So now there's good food. There's always good music. And you know, we're just going to get it to the next level. And I would just add to John, you maybe want to mention, you know, this Irish Village that we're doing is going to be a lead up to hopefully it's something that we can do community based, entertainment back there on a more regular basis.
Oh, really? So like as the weather gets a little bit warmer, yeah. No, tell me more about that.
Well, the next one we have is Spark City, which is our annual kind of 420 celebration. It's on 419 this year, and we're partnering with Affinity Dispensary, and that's going to have the Bob Marley tribute that Darian Cunning runs. At, Mike Lyon.
Yeah, he does so well.
It's
with
so great.
Yeah, it's so
and,
good.
And also Alligator. So it'll be and this is again an afternoon event. We've got a whole sort of like lounge that we're setting up. So we're basically emptying out the back of Park City and creating a lounge that's sponsored by Affinity, so it's almost like a I don't know, just a lounge. You can use your imagination.
Just say it. Just say it. That's all right.
A
usage lounge.
That's right.
back there. Because it is still going to be kid-friendly. We're trying almost to say, hey, go back there for that kind of purpose. Because there's kids around, whatever. So, but yeah, that's going to be a really fun event where, again, live music. It's a free event. So there's really nothing stopping you. It's going to be a beautiful spring day. The weather will be great on April 19th. And we're basically using these two as a barometer to see what the market will bear as far as the outdoor stuff at Park City. We think it's going to be great. We're excited about it. We're going to have a professional sound system back there. I'm kind of following in the footsteps of FTC was doing the lot shows. I think people want to be outside.
Those were fun, too.
In the spring, summer. And we always at Park City, we see a dip in business during the summer because there's so many outdoor music events, right? There's festivals. There's the Levitt Pavilion. You've got the amphitheater humming. You've got all these things that are opportunities to see live music. So we see sort of a constriction there. And we're hoping that this can sort of act as a bulwark against that. So we can start to do these bigger events every month that are in the backspace that have, you know, amazing bands in the afternoon on a Saturday and just be in the open air and listening to music, having a great bar, two great bars right there to serve you with food and everything. So this is the plan. We just want to see how, you know, we're obviously building this bridge as we cross it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, this is the beginning then. The 14th is the beginning of hopefully.
Well, yeah, we started 2 years ago, and, you know, it's been slow, right? But we're learning. Sure. We're learning the things that we need to do, like be here with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
So we
right.
can tell people about it, you know, so people know that there's somewhere to go and something to do. So we, you know, so I think, as John said, This is our year, and well, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I'm certainly going to, you know, be shouting to the rooftops with the loudest possible megaphone that I can find, man. I'm excited about it. I'm going to be in that parade, and, you know, the highlight for me walking in it is always walking by, you know, the four corners where you guys are right there, and there's just mobs of people outside of both of the fucking – it's so great. March 14th, if you made it all the way here, remember, March 14th, doors open at 11, parade starts at 12, live music at 1 o'clock in the parking lot behind Park City Music Hall and Toe Talk Tavern. John Torres, Chris Andrews, thank you guys so much for being here. This is great.
Such a pleasure.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Ben.